Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach out and reach into the studio right now if you have a question, a Bible question, or life issue you're dealing with. Well, we want to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742 is the number to call in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We certainly had a great Super Bowl yesterday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. We were pulling for the Chiefs at our house, and I know that made our own Vivian Gray very happy. She's
indeed.
a Missouri girl, and so she's a big Chiefs fan, so I know she's very, very happy today. But it was a great game, and I certainly love all the stories in a lot of these sporting events of different players, you know, making a stand for Jesus Christ.
Right.
I like Lamar Hunt, or the son of Lamar Hunt, saying that he's a Christian, and there's the faith that is kind of the foundation of their team. I love seeing these stories.
Yeah,
it's
Patrick
great
Mahomes.
To see. Yes, absolutely. And certainly quite a number of people on the 49ers team as well. So
I think that kind of went contrary to the halftime part of it. That was a whole different world.
A whole different world. That was the world. That's the world.
Yeah.
That's what we live in as believers in Christ. That's the world that Christ came into to save, and we've got to recognize that. This month we're talking about forgiveness. It is a huge subject
indeed,
and we're going to start today with the simple gospel message of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul has been given this gospel message. He's received it, he's passed it on, and here's the first line of the story. Here's the first chapter. It says simply this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the way the good news of Jesus Christ starts, the fact that he died for our sins. Now, I want to break that down. I mean, there's this word our, so we think of the entire world. We think of this great mass of people that have lived on planet Earth from the beginning of time all the way to now. But I want us to put a Y on the front of that word. Christ died for your sins. And then I want you to make it even more personal and say, Christ died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last Friday, we looked at one of Jesus' great seven I am statements. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Well, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So when the light of Jesus comes into our lives, everything about us is exposed. And it's not like Jesus didn't already know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows everything. There are absolutely no secrets hidden anywhere inside of us that Jesus doesn't already know about. So when the light of who he is comes into our life, it exposes everything about us. We get to see just the state of depravity that we're really in. And when that merges and we understand that Christ died for our sins, this cross of Jesus Christ becomes even more precious to us, because we know that there was not one sin that he did not see.
Mm-hmm.
There was not one act or deed or word that I said that was against his very nature, his very righteousness, against those that he created as image bearers. There wasn't one thing that I did that he did not see, that he did not take upon himself, that he did not die for.
Yeah.
So this statement, Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, is one of the most precious, life-changing statements you will ever encounter.
Yeah.
When you recognize that he died for your sins. I mean, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one that is righteous. No, not one. We are guilty as charged. No witnesses need to be called. God himself is witness enough. Yeah. Jesus Christ is witness enough. He's seen them. We are guilty as charged. But Christ died for our sins. He demonstrated the love of God the Father for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So when you think about this issue of forgiveness, and when the gospel message declares to you that your sins have been forgiven on account of his name, you know that means every single one. Yeah. He saw them all. He died in your place. He died for your sins in accordance with the scripture. You marry that with what you were like before you knew Christ,
yeah,
to who Jesus is and the fact that he's the light of the world. He sees everything. There's nothing that is hidden from him. Then that statement becomes precious, powerful, life-changing.
Yes, indeed. It does indeed. And in connection with what you're talking about, Bob, we have a wonderful new offer for our listeners.
We have one of the best resources that you will ever get from Basic Gospel. Mm-hmm. It is a 6-CD series called It Is Finished. And if you want to know how to live free from guilt, from shame, from fear, from all of those things that really mark the human experience for most people, this resource is for you. I mean, we look at the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, and we just explode that out into every facet you could possibly imagine of what that means to you as an individual person, and how that truth opens up a door for you to experience that personal, intimate relationship with Christ and to experience his life to the full and learn to fully live as a human being. Sin was the obstacle keeping you from being everything that God wanted you to be. He took that barrier out of the way once and for all, took away your guilt, took away your shame, replaces that fear with faith, and everything becomes new. We want to put this in your hands, and it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Bob, you can tell them all the information on how they can get this.
Absolutely. Well, there's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. That's the one we home in on every day here at Basic Gospel. Go to basicgospel.net and click that donate link, and we'll get that into your hands. It is finished, as Bob said, 6 CDs, and what a wonderful product, what a wonderful offer it is for our donors this month. We encourage you to go right there, right now, basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this. We have a call on the screen. Let's listen.
Yes, we do. Let's go talk with Jeff, listening to us in Celeste, Texas. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot recently. I've spoken with you guys before, and you've helped me out a lot and helped me to realize the love that God has for us, and that we should, you know, operate out of that love and not operate like we're trying to earn something. And it seems like I get that, but that thought doesn't stay in my mind all the times, and it's hard to, and I'm just kind of wondering, how do you keep that in your head? Because, you know, when I get it, it's awesome and it makes sense, but then there's other times where I'm just like, man, life is hard. I just don't feel that love right now, and I have trouble operating from that love when I can't feel it. So I guess my question is, how do you stay in that place where you know God loves you?
Well, Jeff, a part of that is recognizing kind of the fickleness of our emotions. We don't want to judge anything based on our emotions. If we tried to judge God's love on our emotions, we would all say, God hates us. God hates me. Because that's, you know, that's kind of how we're going to feel, and how we're going to feel is going to be based on some of the things that we've done, some of the things that we've said, some of the things that we've thought. And we're gonna start feeling kind of bad about ourselves, and then we're gonna say, "How could God love a person like me?" So we don't want to judge things based on our feelings. They're very, very fickle. We can think all kinds of things, and our feelings are gonna naturally respond to that. So if I'm thinking negative thoughts, if I'm thinking about guilty things and whatever it might be, my feelings are going to follow suit. So I have to go back to truth. And truth is, God loves me. And that love was demonstrated for me through the death of Jesus Christ. And that's true regardless of how I feel. So regardless of how I feel, I'm still going to thank the Lord that that love is there for me and will always be there for me, and that absolutely nothing can separate me from that love. So we have to go back to, what does faith say to truth? Faith says thank you. And you can walk in thankfulness despite what your emotions may be saying at any given time. So I think we always have to go back to truth and let our hearts respond to that truth in an attitude of thankfulness. But believe me, Jeff, I mean, what you're experiencing is just being a human, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
So
I know God tells us to be holy, and it's just hard.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, here's the good news, Jeff. I mean, He's already made you holy. Hebrews 10:10, by that one sacrifice, you have been made holy. That's the will of God. The will of God, Jeff, was to make you holy. And here's the deal. Let's think of something, all right? When we go back to the garden, when we go back to Adam and Eve, they enjoyed a relationship with God, right? There was this personal, vibrant, dynamic relationship that was happening. They were connected one to another. Well, that connection was lost through sin. When Adam and Eve chose to sin, then they died. They died spiritually. But God's purpose and God's desire has always been to be connected to His creation, to be connected to those whom He created in His likeness, in His image. So He sent Jesus into this world. Now, God is holy, and for God to be connected again to His creation, He had to make us holy. He had to make you and I holy. God is a living God. He's not a dead God. So God had to make us alive, and that's what He did in Christ. God is righteous. He's not unrighteous. So He had to make us clean and righteous in His sight. So the cross of Jesus Christ, through that shed blood, Jeff, Jesus cleansed you of all unrighteousness. Jesus gave you His righteousness. Jesus set you apart and made you holy. Jesus made you alive together with Him. Why? So that He could come and live in you and be with you forever. So you're holy. You have been set apart. Now, the idea of living is simply entrusting the Holy One who is alive, living in you. And as you trust the Holy One, guess what's going to flow through your life? His holiness. And you know what that holiness looks like? It looks a lot like love. It looks a lot like love for Him. It looks a lot like love for those within your sphere of influence, those that you come in contact with. So you have to step back, Jeff, and say, I'm not going to judge myself on my behavior, whether I'm doing good or bad. I'm simply going to trust in what Christ Jesus has already done for me and is doing in and through me by His Spirit right now. Let's leave the judgment to God. He's the best one at that. Let's leave the trusting up to us. Does that make sense?
That's awesome. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is there a particular verse you might recommend that I can put in my memory to just kind of tell myself, hey, you're feeling something, and that's not what the Bible says. That's just a feeling.
Well, I would point to Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 14, and go make it all the way to 18, verses 10 through 18 of Hebrews 10.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Jeff. Thanks for your call. And let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of that CD series that we're making available this month. It is finished, and I think you'll really enjoy that.
Well, we lost the call. Hopefully, Jeff will call back and give us his contact information. So, Jeff, if you're listening, give us a call back, and we'll get that on the way to you. But it is a wonderful resource that Bob described just a few moments ago, and it is available from our if you go to basicgospel.net and click that donate link, and we'd love to get a copy to you. 6 CD series, Live Free from Guilt and Shame, and that's kind of our theme for the entire month. It is finished.
It is finished.
So we had this call that came in from Brock. Let's listen.
Hi, my name's Brock. I have a question concerning Melchizedek. Just who is he? Is he Jesus Christ, our Lord? Is he, some people have suggested Shem? Please shed some light on this, and I will listen with eager anticipation, and God bless you. Bye.
Well, Brock, that is a great question, and it's a mysterious question. We meet Melchizedek back in Genesis 14. Abram has gone out and won a battle to rescue Lot and all of those sort of things, and he's coming back home. This character, Melchizedek, comes out and meets him. And what we do know about him was that he was the king of Salem, and that he was a priest. That's all we know. We don't know anything about his genealogy. We don't know where he came from. We don't know anything about him after this particular passage. But we do know that he became a central name. So in Psalm 110, we see the psalmist talking about Melchizedek, and then we see in the book of Hebrews 5, 6, and 7, Melchizedek is mentioned. And so was he Christ? Was he an early appearance of Christ to Abram way back in that day? That's certainly a possibility, and theologians, as many theologians, have held to that viewpoint. Was he just a prototype? Was he just a typology, something that was pointing to Jesus? And there's certainly people that argue that side of the question. All we know, he was a figure, that he was a priest, that he blessed Abraham. And Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek. Now, what's the point of that? Why did that happen? Why did the story unfold in that particular way? Because Abram recognized something about Melchizedek. He recognized that Melchizedek was superior to himself. So he bowed humbly. He was blessed by the bread and the wine that Melchizedek brought out. That's certainly symbolic of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. So we see that way back in this particular story. But he's saying he's superior, so he gave of his spoils, 10% of his spoils, to Melchizedek. Well, what does that tell us about Jesus? That his priesthood as our priest is superior to the priesthood of the Levites. Why? Because the Levites came out of the loins of Abram. So Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Levi was one of the 12. And so Abram, since he was saying this Melchizedek was greater than me, then he's saying that Melchizedek is greater than Levi, which means Jesus, who is a priest in the order of Melchizedek and not one out of the order of Aaron, is greater. And so what he's accomplished for mankind is far superior. And that's why we can say with Jesus as our priest that our sins have been taken away once and for all, and that God remembers them no more, and that we have a new covenant. Why? Because when there's a change of the priesthood, there's a change of the law, and so of necessity, Jesus Christ ended the old and ushered in the new, and that's the new covenant that we live in today. So we can argue, and we can, and when I say argue, I'm not talking about heated discussion. I'm talking about making arguments on whether this was a Christophany, an early appearance of Jesus back in the Old Testament, or if it was just typology, that Melchizedek just served as a type of Jesus Christ. We can argue either side of that, but the point that we need to make from both is that Jesus, his priesthood, his sacrifice, everything about him was superior to the Old Covenant, to the Levitical priesthood, to everything about that old. And so why does that matter to us? Because we have a salvation that is total, that is complete, that we can say that we've been saved forever by Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, indeed. Well, Brock, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. We loved hearing from you. Bob, a question from Deborah, who is a Facebook viewer. She says, it isn't okay for a Christian to sin. We still have to ask for forgiveness when we sin, but that's my opinion. What's yours?
Well, I mean, God isn't, saying, hey, just go out and sin and do whatever you want. That took place after the sin in the garden. Sin became master of humanity. We see that in Romans 6:14. When we're saved, it says we're no longer, that sin is no longer in charge. Why? Because we're no longer under law, we're under grace. So sin was controlling the narrative, was controlling the narrative of humanity. It was controlling the narrative of your life. It was authoring your story. But now that you've come to Jesus, you've been redeemed, you've been purchased out of the law of sin and death and set free to experience new life in Jesus Christ. So that's what this gospel message brings about in all of our lives. So we're made alive together with Christ. Christ sends his spirit to live inside of us, and our new way of life is by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's how we live.
Yeah.
So if we're walking by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to express his life in and through us, and that's not going to be sin. Well, sometimes we will give in to the desires of the flesh or the temptations of this world. What do? Well, if we've hurt somebody in that act, we go to that person, and we have a conversation. We make that right. But as far as God is concerned, we already have forgiveness. We simply thank him for what we already have in Christ, and we allow that love to move us in this relationship with we have with another person, and we go and try to make that right.
Yes, indeed.
That's how we deal with this.
Very quickly, Olivia wanted to know what happened to the Pharisees, and are there any in the world today?
Well, I don't know if they would call themselves Pharisees. I think there's a lot of Judaism that is still following kind of the model of Pharisaism back in Jesus's day.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still around? I don't think they're around by that name.
As such, yeah.
But that same thinking about the Jewish way of life is still prevalent today.
Indeed. Well, friends, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today. Call us with any questions you might have at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And once again, the love, prayers, and support of everyone who helps us keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air is very much appreciated. And to say thanks this month, we have that wonderful 6-CD series called It Is Finished. And you simply go to basicgospel.net, click donate. We would love to get that into your hands. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.